You're tuned into Soul Connection, hosted by Zenobia Todd, ASYEP intern, and Sarah Fetishin of the Aspen Hope Center. You have probably heard the term, we are all connected. Humans are social species that are wired to connect. Love and belonging are our greatest needs. Our goal is to facilitate meaningful conversations on what we all need to find wellness.
Stay tuned to listen to experts in the mental health field talk about the changing landscape of mental health and what remains true to basic human needs. We will also spend time sharing stories, experiences, and ideas we have learned along the way.
Please join us and enjoy some connection time.
Soul Connection is sponsored by the Aspen Hope Center. The Aspen Hope Center provides an array of mental health services such as crisis intervention, suicide prevention, mobile crisis response, therapy, a confidential 24/7 hope line, and a robust school-based program. To learn more about the Aspen Hope Center, you can go to aspenhopecenter.org. Thank you.
Welcome back to Soul Connection with Zenobia and Sarah. Today we're going to be talking and debriefing and digging deeper into the recent roundtable conversation that our community had a few weeks ago and that aired about a week ago. So do you want to kind of expand on that, Sarah?
Yeah, absolutely. So on July 11th, we partnered with the Aspen Hope Center and Aspen Community Foundation, thank you both to those organizations, to host the second part of our Reconnecting with Conversation series. This two-hour discussion focused on teen relationships with each other and the adults in our lives. There is a link on the Andy Zinka Youth Empowerment website, and I really do encourage people to listen to that roundtable. We had a lot of fun, and I think we talked about some really important things, and I'm looking forward today to going a little bit deeper with you, Zenobia, on the topic of relationships.
Yeah, I think that was a super successful roundtable. We've had two, and I think they were both pretty awesome. And I noticed that one, a lot of people participated, and there was a lot of vulnerability and openness, which I really appreciated, and I really like just found interesting to hear people's stories and opinions on things. So
I agree. I love that we had teachers again. We had community mental health providers.
Yeah.
We had a ton of youth that keep showing up. I think you guys have some stuff to say.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's awesome. We have such a diverse group of people that show up to those. So Sarah and I are just going to talk about kind of our opinions on some of the stuff we talked about at that roundtable and how we see it, even if we spoke there, like just digging deeper into all of it. So what do you think, Sarah?
Let's do it.
Okay.
You want to start with communication?
Yeah. Okay. Well, first I want to start off with what are some observations surrounding the relationships between teens and adults in our community and in our valley? Like, I want to hear your perspective on that just first.
Yeah. I think what I see and coming from the roundtable is that, you know, parents and youth are working really hard to communicate and try to build healthy relationships and are just struggling right now, I think, with just the stressors that are currently going on in our lives. And
yeah.
I loved hearing from both the adults and the youth on their efforts and their commitment, but also the things that they're coming across and the honesty of some of the barriers.
Totally. I totally agree with that. And I think that teenage years are like the hardest years for parents and their kids because I don't know. We're, you know, like both people are going through a lot. And I want to also add on that, like, you know, COVID and now school is starting back up too. Mm-hmm. So that's also kind of tough, you know. But yeah, I totally agree. So,
well, and I wanted to add too, I think there's always, you know, when we get into our teen lives and that we are starting to find our independence and pushing back and breaking the rules, and all of that's normal.
Yeah.
I just think that there's added stressors now with cell phones, with technology, with just having access to so much information that parents feel behind the ball.
Totally.
And knowing how to help.
Yeah, exactly. And at the roundtable, there was a lot of talk about, you know, phones and misunderstandings with technology and social media. And I think, like you said, that's one of like the biggest things these days that cause miscommunication between parents and teens. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, well, kind of moving on into a different topic, I want to talk about mainly just communication and why it's so important. Sarah, why do you think it's so important for teens or just kids in general to have a good relationship with their parents?
Well, I mean, I think we all know the what comes from having a healthy relationship. And what I heard a few people talking about was coming into conversations without an agenda, or coming in when you're regulated and ready to hear the other person. So here to understand instead of listening to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really key in having a healthy relationship and encouraging communication. Is I think sometimes we let our emotions take control of us. And mm-hmm. if we can come in and really be able to listen and to hear from compassion and empathy, it can really change the way we communicate with each other.
Yeah, totally. I think we both, Sarah, will have a lot to say kind of on this. Going back to social media and phones, one of the big subjects and topics at the roundtable was what are the fundamental differences between trying to communicate with someone online versus in person? And what are the drawbacks, and how do we get over those hurdles?
Yeah, I honestly, communicating by text or online, I think is so difficult because we miss the other person's body language, the tone of their voice,
mm-hmm.
and it feels like when we communicate in that fashion, if we aren't super intentional and thoughtful about our communication, that it can go wrong really quickly.
Totally.
And I think people get harmed in that communication. And so I kind of want to hear from you, Zenobia, because I think you use it more than I do. How do you navigate it? How do you navigate relationships so that your friends or whoever you're communicating with know, you know, where you stand or what you're trying to get across?
At the round table, I remember talking about this and how I'm the person that if I'm like with one of my friends or with, you know, whoever, I'm the person that's like, we need to meet up right now, like, and talk about this, you know, because I've just learned in the past that communicating online for me over text does not work. Like, it just, like, genuinely doesn't work for me. And for some people, that may be more comfortable and may work better. But, like, with me, I have to, like, see the person and, like, make eye contact and body language, like you said. And, you know, usually in person, then we figure out what we're fighting about or what our disagreement was about or the miscommunication. So I think definitely everything is more successful in person. And just in the past few years, there's been such a struggle with miscommunication online, and it's caused like really hurtful things to happen to a lot of people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it can happen to all of us.
Totally.
And it probably happens more than we wish it would. But I like what you're sharing, because it's kind of a skill that you might be communicating. And if you feel like it's starting to not go well or the way that you want it to, you know, picking up the phone and even talking, you know, having a phone call versus just this texting can really start to shift the
relationship.
Exactly.
Like if mm-hmm. someone lives far and that's not possible, I think calling them is definitely like an awesome way to communicate with them and not text.
Yeah. Yeah. So Zenobia, in communication in whatever form it is, how do you let your friends or family know that you care about them? Because that's a really important piece in relationships. Of course, we have the barriers and the hardships of being in a relationship. But how do you do this thing well?
I don't know. I think that I definitely have an advantage with my mom. I feel like I talk about my mom every time on this show, but I mean, she has a lot to do with why I'm so passionate about this. And I think she's taught me over the years just to like really how to be an active listener and like show that I care. And I feel like one of the big things is like what I just said, genuinely being an active listener and just letting, like, if someone has an issue or if they need to talk to you about something and they need someone there, you know, like just sitting down and being quiet and listening to them. And I know for a lot of people, they just need to talk and talk and talk. Like I do a lot, you know, and I think that it's important just to be like, I understand, or like, that's really hard. Like, I'm here for you. Text me if you need me. You know, I'm always here for you. I don't know, like, just little things like that, and like just smiling at people and like hugging people, you know, like if they want to hug. But I'm such a hugger, but
beware, everyone. Zenobia's on the loose.
I'm on the loose. I'm a hugger, guys. But I think just like little things matter so much to people, because that's how I am. Like, little things just matter so much to me. And I've also learned from having amazing friends that, and them being there for me, I've also, you know, like, followed their ways of doing things as well.
You definitely learned that from your mom. Your mom's amazing at doing that as
she
well.
She is, yeah.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, I think all the little things matter.
Do you think?
Yeah. To appreciate people, I mean, I've been talking with colleagues about starting a kindness campaign of some sort. I don't know if anybody else is experiencing this, but it really feels like people are irritated or overwhelmed or wanting some instant gratification. And it feels like we're all just moving so quickly. And what would it look like to take some time and to breathe and to remember the power of kindness?
Yeah.
And remembering to kind of fit it into our day, which seems silly.
No, it does, but it's so true. And like, I've when people just say hi and smile, it makes my day better. And like, and I've learned that saying hi to people and smiling makes people's day better, you know, because it makes mine better. And so even if it's just a little thing like that, it is such a big thing to like let people know that you care and you're there, and even without saying it. But
yeah, well, and I think what came up at the round table is we know it's okay to not be okay, right? So we're really trying to bring awareness to mental health and decrease the stigma. But it's also okay to be okay. It's okay to be that positive person. It's okay to be that person that smiles and has hope and sees the good. And I feel like sometimes, you know, if somebody's struggling, we feel like we have to struggle, or we feel like we have to match their energy.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important for those that are able, right, to lean into.
To be that positive person, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so awesome. So I kind of want to talk about a really big theme and topic at the roundtable that was something a lot of people wanted to, you know, add on, and it's boundaries. And I think boundaries are so important in so many situations, and I think there is a lot of stigma around boundaries and, like, I mean, mental health in general, but I think going deeper, boundaries is like one of the big ones, and just because people don't want to talk about them, you know, and like be open about them. So like, I just want to ask you, Sarah, what's your idea of a boundary?
Yeah. Yeah, it does kind of have a bad like connotation, right? Yeah. It's like to have a boundary.
I know.
They're like super important.
They're super important.
To have a healthy relationship has to include boundaries.
You have to include them. Exactly. In any situation, you know, like with your partner, with your parents, with your friends, with whoever. I think that is like one of the most important things. Totally.
Absolutely. And I think it starts with you developing and taking time to understand what your boundaries are. Mm-hmm. I don't think we ever really talk about that when we're young or really understand it thoroughly. And a lot of things come from that, you know, especially consent. I think I talked a little bit about this at the roundtable. Mm-hmm. Is what are you okay with in terms of, you know, your personal space or, you know, how far you'd like to go in a relationship and things like that? What are your mm-hmm. comfort levels? And I really wish that we had more discussions around, you know, what that looked like.
Exactly. And that is so important. And I think that just like listening to yourself and is just the main thing, you know, just listen to what you need.
So, you know, they talk a lot about following your gut in terms of, you know, how you move forward in life. And it really is important. If there's something that's not feeling comfortable or good and your body's reacting to it, that's time to slow down and to think about what is making you uncomfortable or why is your gut telling, you know, what is your gut trying to tell you?
Exactly.
Right?
And I kind of want to add on to that. There's healthy risks and there's unhealthy risks. Mm-hmm. And like, even just like when I think of risks, I think of like jumping off a cliff, mm-hmm. like into like, cause that's, I actually have a fear of that. And so I think that maybe that's a healthy risk for me because I take that risk and I am happy about it. And I'm like, I'm glad I took that risk, you know, but I can't think of an example of like an unhealthy risk, but I feel like you need to listen to yourself and be like, wait, this may not be a good thing for me right now. And
I love that you can't think of an unhealthy risk because I literally spent my entire adolescence taking unhealthy risks.
Okay, well, can you give me an example?
Yeah, an unhealthy risk is, you know, maybe sleeping with someone that you're not ready to sleep with.
Yeah.
And maybe that's, you know, their expectation. And you in this relationship, you haven't decided what you want to do, or experimenting, you know, with alcohol or different things to numb, you know, uncomfortable feelings.
Yeah, totally.
I think that those are all things that we have to contemplate and figure out for ourselves, you know, how we want to handle those and navigate those kinds of things when they come up in our lives. And if we haven't been secure and knowing what we're willing to do and not do, we can easily fall into what our friend group mm-hmm. is doing.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Peer pressure.
Peer pressure. Yep. That's a real thing.
That's a big real thing. Yeah. That's a thing. Okay, so I think it's really important that you said that. And I think that unhealthy risks are taken a lot by a lot of people. And, you know, how big or small they are. And so I kind of want to hear just talk about what are healthy, constructive ways to build boundaries in your life.
Yeah. Yep. I think we talked a little bit about being intentional about what our boundaries are. And then it's also respecting other people's boundaries. I've noticed when I've tried to put those in place with friends or, you know, in other kinds of relationships, you can be seen as someone that's selfish or not willing to help people or just not making yourself available. And mm-hmm. I think this happens a lot for women. Mm-hmm. in particular, that are really a lot of times the caretaker or the one that, you know, shows up when people are in need. And I find it a personal struggle of mine to be able to be caring and nurturing and available for people, but to also be nurturing and caring for myself.
Totally.
Yeah. Has that come up for you already in your life?
I totally get that. I totally understand that. And I think just respecting your boundaries and being, and I think what we talked about earlier, like slowing down and being like, wait, let me stop and breathe. Mm-hmm. And I think that totally respecting other people's boundaries is so important too. And I think going back to the question of like building healthy boundaries is also going back to communication and just communicating with that person and talking about it, because that's such a healthy thing. You know, that's something that matters so much. And like, it is stigmatized and it's like maybe uncomfortable, but I think sitting down with that person, you know, whoever they be, and being like, this is how I feel. How do you feel about doing this? And how do you feel in this situation? And you know what I mean? Yeah. And so I think that just communication is a really big thing there.
And I think that's what kind of gets, you know, adolescents and parents in conflict, because I think parents are really looking out for boundaries for their kiddos as they're, you know, as kids or youth are trying to figure it out for themselves. And so, you know, as parents may ask, hey, let's put the cell phone away at 9 p.m. so that you can get a break, so that you can get, so your brain can get a break, so that your emotions can get a break, so that you can get some good sleep. Like, all of these things are so essential for people to be well. And so I think parents are coming in and trying to create these boundaries. And what we know with cell phones and social media is that they're quite addictive. And so it may not be this easy boundary that can be set, because youth are really having a reaction towards having a boundary you know, with this. So we're kind of in a conundrum.
Yeah, conundrum.
Yeah.
Right? No, I get that.
Yeah, and who's going to win out, and, and how this thing's going to go. But I really appreciate parents and their efforts to create these, trying to create healthy boundaries with this new way of communicating, with this new way to get information. I guess it's really not new anymore. I mean, we're years into it, but we're definitely seeing the consequences of when you don't have boundaries, or when you don't, you know, put some limits on things,
totally,
what can happen to our mental health. So, Zenobia, I'm thrilled again that the Andy Zinka interns picked this topic of relationships. It's just a really thoughtful topic, and relationships are core to who we are and how we want to navigate this world. Mm-hmm. And knowing that you all were wanting your teachers and mental health providers and adults in your life to help you all navigate having healthy relationships is really admirable. So I wanted to thank you, first of all, for bringing up the topic. And just so you know, adults still can struggle with relationships.
Yeah.
They're really complicated.
They're so complicated.
There's lots of levels, right?
There's so many levels.
And we all need to continue to have this conversation, especially if we are ever going to come together as a community to fight for wellness, to fight for kindness, to do this next right thing that we're facing. So I know that you all were really curious about how your community, your schools, your family, your workplace, how we all can support you in building these healthy relationships. And I think that it does start, obviously, with communication and with having these conversations. That's why I think I'm just in love with these roundtables.
They're one of my favorite things ever. And like, I just think it's really cool that I just feel like stuff like this doesn't happen a lot. And so I'm so happy that I get to be able to be a part of it, you know, because I just feel like, I don't know, when the topic of relationships was brought up, I think all of us, like all of the interns right away, were like, wait, like we actually need to do this. And we all were just so passionate about it and so like into it. And we talked all about it. And I don't know, I just think that it's so awesome we get to do these, and I want to keep doing them.
That's great. Well, and I don't know if y'all realize this, but having healthy relationships really does lead to having good mental health. And so
it does.
You all are really looking at the pieces that it takes in order for you all to live these lives that you are really hopeful in living. And so I'm grateful that we talk about that, because we find when people struggle with relationships or isolate themselves from others, they really do start, their mental health starts to decline.
Mm-hmm.
So being available, coming together, and making sure that when people start to isolate, that they're invited back in some capacity, and that we are aware of when people are starting to isolate. Because that's not in our human nature for the most part. There are some people that like to be alone, and that's great, and so that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a little different. This is a friend that used to come out every Friday or that you would talk to consistently and all of a sudden isn't showing up or isn't as connected. That's really a sign that something might be off for them. And I think it takes really brave people to lean in to when somebody else is struggling and maybe isolating themselves and inviting them back in, because it might be awkward, right? When people are struggling, they're not always the most fun, or, you know, it's not an easy conversation.
Yeah.
And so I'm just curious, have you had friends that have gone through that, and how did you integrate them back?
You know, kind of going to like friends that I've seen struggle with that. I totally have friends that have struggled with that. And like, I think it's important to like check on them and invite them, just even just like, let's go get ice cream or come over and we can talk for a little bit. And again, like, I'm here and, you know, all that stuff, because so many people struggle with that. And I know, like, for me, I'm a social person and I can get out and do stuff and be with people, and like, I really enjoy that. But I know for some people, they're the complete opposite, but they still need that sense of like, what's the word?
Physical connection.
Yeah, physical mm-hmm. connection mm-hmm. in their life, and they don't know how to get there, you know? Mm-hmm. And so yeah, I've 100% been through that and seen friends that I've been through that. And this is kind of off topic, but not really. I want to say, before, when you were talking about the roundtable and, you know, how awesome it is, I want to say, I think it's an awesome opportunity for so many people to get out there. And if they don't have an outlet to talk about their struggles, you know, I think that's an awesome place, because you meet people that will help you too, you know. Even me, I made a friend at my last one and I still talk to her, and I think that's so awesome. So I think it's an amazing thing, to an amazing outlet.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited to hear that you two are still connected.
Yeah, we are still connected. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And I do see a difference in you after the summer, Zenobia. You seem lighter and just ready to take on the next.
Yeah, I think the summer's changed me. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for the summer. But yeah. Well,
awesome.
That was awesome, Sarah. Thank you for going deeper into that. I could talk about that forever.
Oh, well, and thank you for showing up, and thank you all for listening to Soul Connection, and we hope you join us next time.
Yep. See ya.